Throughout history, African Americans have used humor as an escape and as a way to express the black experience in America. This January, the Sundance Film Festival screened a documentary that explores the evolution of black comedy. The film, Why We Laugh, traces the genre's roots from the early days of Mantan Moreland to the modern comedic stylings of Chris Rock. Daryl Littleton wrote the book Black Comedians on Black Comedy. The documentary Why We Laugh is based on that book. He joined me here at the studios of NPR West.
So, Daryl, welcome back to News and Notes, man. Nice having you around again.
It's always great to be here, Tony.
So now we're talking about the documentary that was based on your book, Black Comedians on Black Comedy. And it looks at the history of black comedians in this country.
Exactly.
Talk about the beginnings of black comedy in the modern era.
Right. Modern era, because, of course, we started with slavery.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was our communication, that and music, because we couldn't speak the same language. But the first recognized superstar in black comedy was Burt Williams. There were minstrels before him, but he and his partner, George Walker, were the first black comedians to do, number one, a film. They did a motion picture back in 1901. They were the first ones to do that. Also, they had hits on Broadway before anyone else, and they also had hits in London, stage plays.
The most popular radio show in the history of radio was Amos and Andy, and it was done originally, as you know, by white actors playing black characters, and then when it transferred to television, they turned those white characters into black actors.
Right, because there was a team called Miller and Lyles, and they were a great black face team, and they were black men. They had went to a station in, I believe it was WGN in Chicago, and they brought the idea of Amos and Andy to them. They said, no, we're not interested. Actually, they were interested. They just didn't want to do it with black men. So when these guys came, Gosden and Carell, who were white men, who were black minstrels, who put on the black face, they came. The station gave them the idea and said, hey, you know, what about this? And they said, wow, that sounds great. That's how they became Amos and Andy. The original show was called Sam and Henry, but they had to change the name. Once the contract ran out, then they went ahead and called it Amos and Andy.
The comedy of black comics has evolved from Burt Williams to Kingfish and Amos and Andy up to Dick Gregory. And so by the time Dick Gregory comes along, we're in a whole new realm, are we not?
Yes. Dick Gregory is the first recognized, and he'll say it, the first black comedian to be able to stand flat-footed and just deliver comedy. You had other comedians back then, but they always had to do a little song or a dance or whatever. Sammy Davis had to dance and sing and then tell jokes, same with Pearl Bailey and some of the other comedians. But Dick Gregory was able to go on television, sit down on the Jack Parr show and sit on the couch and actually have a discussion, and that had never happened in the history of television.
When I make Time magazine, Monday morning, it's Jack Parr on the phone. Dick Gregory? Yes, this is Mr. Parr. How come you don't want to work my show? I said, I just don't want to work. Why? I said, because the Negroes never sit on the couch. It was a long time. He said, well, come on in. You can sit on the couch. They said they got so many phone calls that night that the circuits blew out at NBC New York. And it was interesting. It was white folks who had seen a black person for the first time in a human conversation.
This is the 60s, right?
Yes, this was 1961.
So now black comedy is evolving still. You have Bill Cosby coming around about now.
Right. Bill Cosby owes his career actually to Dick Gregory, because Dick opened the door and Bill was the second black comedian to gain national recognition.
Now, Bill Cosby's brand of humor has lasted and lasted him well ever since. There have been others who have come and gone whose humor has been high and low, depending upon what the circumstances were. Why has Bill Cosby's humor been able to withstand the test of time?
Because Bill Cosby's humor is timeless. It deals with general universal themes such as family and caring about your fellow man and so forth. It's not rooted in the fact that he's black. It's a colorblind comedy.
My mother kisses every child. Well, just come here and kiss your grandmommy. Grandmommy just love it to death. And my children think that my mother's the most wonderful person on the face of this earth. And I keep telling my children, that's not the same woman I grew up with. You're looking at an old person who's trying to get into heaven now.
At the same time that Red Fox was out there, this is again 60s, 70s, Bill Cosby's out there, Dick Gregory is out there. There is a woman, a black woman, and as far as I know, she was the only one operating at that level at that time. I'm, of course, talking about Moms Mabley.
Right. Moms Mabley is recognized as the first black female comedian. And she was taken out on the road by a team called Butterbeans and Susie. They gave her her first break.
Why is it that we haven't had the numbers of black female comics that we had for men in terms of the success? I mean, we do have Whoopi Goldberg, obviously, Wanda Sykes is contemporary, Monique, contemporary comedians, and there are others, I'm sure, but it would seem relatively few in comparison to the numbers of men.
I can speak from this from experience because I live with a black female comedian right now, and it's tough for her and it's tough for a lot of her peers because when you are attractive, number one, it's harder to get work. It would seem easier, but it's harder because everybody, from the doorman to the promoter to other comics, they're jamming you and they're not really caring about your comedy. Whereas when you have other women, such as more portly women who go with the mammy role, it's a lot easier for them. Or if you have women that go from the Mom Mabley tradition, it's a little easier for them. Also, due to the fact that comics, by large, have to do a lot of road work. And the road is a whole different game for women than it is for men.
Now, your documentary spends a great deal of time with Richard Pryor, the genius that he was.
Anyone here remember them switches? Right, you used to have to go get off the tree yourself and take them leaves like that. I see them trees today, I will kill one of them. I will stop the car and say, wait, hold it, Jeff, listen, yeah, you ain't never going to grow up.
Talk briefly about his comedy, what made him so special, what made him so different from all of the others, including Bill Cosby, although in the beginning he sort of patterned his act after Bill Cosby, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a Cosby clone. He had the mannerisms, the action, the voice inflection, everything of Cosby. He had his epiphany in 1969. He went to Las Vegas, and he was standing on stage. And at one point, he just stopped his act and said, you know, what the hell am I doing? Because that just wasn't him. He was successful. He was funny. But at a certain point, a comic has to be true to themselves.
There are two comedians that we have not discussed who I think are part of this conversation. One is the late Bernie Mac, whose television show was an award-winning, groundbreaking kind of black comedy. And the other is Tyler Perry, who seems to be the profit model right now for black comedy.
Right. In the sense of Bernie, yeah, Bernie was a great comedian in my book. And I always want to thank Bernie, because Bernie Mac was sick when I interviewed the book, and so he could not verbally do an interview with me. But his assistant said he wants to do it, he wants to participate. Can you write the questions, and we'll write the answers back. And so he did that even in his state at that time. So I love Bernie Mac. Now, as far as Tyler Perry is kind of like the Shelley Garrett of the modern era. Shelley Garrett used to do these stage plays back in the 80s where he would go around doing the same thing Tyler Perry did, the gospel plays, and he would always attract the church audiences. And so there's a division in the sense of appreciation for Tyler Perry. If you're really into that kind of stuff, you know, the stage plays and the broad humor, which borders on vaudeville, then he is the man.
Is he turning the clock back on black humor?
To a degree. What he's doing is keeping some of the old tradition of black comedy. Somebody said this, and I think it was Dick Gregory that said this in the documentary. See, Amos and Andy looked bad to us back then for black people because that's all you had. But now, when you've got a president who is black and you've got, you know, an attorney general who's black and heads of major corporations, then just like Tyler Perry's humor does have a place because that's not the only representation we have, so should Amos and Andy have a place nowadays. So there's room for all of those traditions because we're not a monolith. Black people, we're very diverse. Some of us like pickled pig's feet. Some of us can't stand it.
Black Comedians on Black Comedy is the book, and the name of the documentary is?
Why We Laugh.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony.
That was author and comedian Daryl Littleton. He joined me here at the studios of NPR West. That's our show for today. Glad you could join us. To listen to the show or subscribe to the podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org.